Welcome back. This is your boy, Mr. Fight, and I am back to talk some more tech with you for classrooms, because we are back again for, believe it or not, we're into the second season of my podcast, and I'm excited with some of the things that are going to keep rolling out with this podcast. So, but today's episode we're going to be talking about is something that I've done some research on in my master's degree that I got in instructional technology, and that is the SAMR model. Now, some of you, if you don't know what the SAMR model is it's basically technology integration into the classroom's version of Bloom's taxonomy of kind of higher order thinking skills. So, I mean, Bloom's came first, but as more tech integration was developed, there was a need for some kind of hierarchy like Bloom's to help teachers and students and everybody kind of look and see about how to better incorporate it to develop some higher order thinking. And the reason why I picked this topic for this week is because in the age of social distancing and also with distance learning, which who knows how long that's going to go, there's obviously going to be some more technology integration here. So that's why I picked it. But anyways, let's go ahead and get started talking about the SAMR model. Now, a little bit of a overview of what the SAMR model is. It's spelled out S-A-M-R as an acronym, and it starts out with S as substitution, which means technology acts as a direct substitute with no real functional change. So that would be, here's an example. Like, if you look at it basically from this standpoint, think of paper pencil, okay? That's what I grew up with. I don't know about any of you, but we always had to make sure we had a number two pencils and a piece of paper when we were in school, okay? Especially in elementary school, before we had full-range computers in all of our classrooms. So instead of, per se, having a student write up a document for them to submit to you, you might substitute it and have them type up a document. There's really no big overarching change, except for the fact of how the student is submitting the document. He's still writing you up something. It's just he's typing it with his fingers instead of holding a pencil. Okay. So that's substitution. There's really not like a functional change. It's more so just like changing, per se, the output of how something has happened. Okay. So the next we have A, which is augmentation. So now it kind of changes it a little bit. So we have technology acts as a direct substitute with some functional improvement, okay? So with that being said, like if I'm thinking augmentation, I mean, it's a little bit more of a change. So take that same document, like say that Google document. You type it up, but you don't do anything with it. Okay, you like the student just keeps it directly on their computer or they just print it off. That's just a substitution of the paper. Well, augmenting it would be, say, something like sharing it via Google Drive. It opens up the door to more of an audience. Okay, so you augment the work. You're still maybe not necessarily making it like a super big audience, like per se, maybe your student shares it in a Drive folder directly with you, but maybe not an outward huge audience, okay? So then take that another step and go to modification, okay? Modification for that might say if I take that Google Doc and I then not just share it with one person, okay? I then share it with a multitude of people. Okay, like per se, maybe you do something with Google Classroom and you post it on there. Okay, then like a larger audience gets a chance to see it. Okay, or it could possibly be other different forms of sharing. Okay, it doesn't directly have to be Google Drive. I just, as a little heads up again, my district is a Google Apps for Education district. So you're going to be hearing a lot of Google references. So, but if you're like a Microsoft district or something else, there's different versions of that. Okay. Like Microsoft OneDrive, tons of other things. Okay. So, but it keeps building, like as in Bloom's taxonomy, it keeps building on that level of like how in depth that person's knowledge base is going to go. If I just shared it with one person, that's a lot less than, say, sharing that document with a whole crowd of people. Well, as we said, then we take it into like a real world experience, which is something that I've done with my third graders, is something like, say, iTunes U or the iTunes bookstore. Like taking that document, let's say they wrote a story, and instead of just sharing it with like printing it off and handing it in like the traditional way, okay, I have my third grade students write a story and then they post it on the iTunes bookstore for the whole world to see. Now, granted, you got to make sure you get parent permission, especially if you work with younger elementary age kids. You don't want to just put stuff out there. And I always make sure I don't put their names on it for privacy reasons. But by doing that, by redefining the concept of, like, say, write me a story, you could just start out with, here's the traditional substituting of a paper and pencil for typing up a story. Or you can take that story and open it up to a whole new audience, okay? Of, like, getting it gives them more of a real world purpose of actually seeing, hey, this is what the writing process is like. I have critics out there, okay? Now, I also try and safeguard it a little bit with the fact that they're third graders. I don't want them to be ridiculed or made fun of to an extent like it would just crush their hopes and dreams, okay? So, but I also make sure I put it out there so people can download their books. They can have that pride and that sense of like, hey, I really have to really work hard because not just my teacher, even though how awesome he is, I always joke with them. It gives me a chance to see and show off to the whole world. Okay. So those are just some examples of how the SAMR model works with, say, the concept of a Google Doc or writing a story. Okay. There's plenty of other options out there. Okay. But that's just one example. So again, when you're looking at technology integration during this time, try and see if you can use some of that SAMR model when creating your educational materials for your students. Okay. And the SAMR model can be used any grade level. It's just like Bloom's taxonomy. Okay. But also on the other retrospectively, if you think about it, it's going to look different. Okay. It's not going to be the same for every grade level. And that's okay. Because the other thing with the SAMR model is sometimes it's okay to have a substitution level assignment. Okay. I mean, I cannot expect a kindergartner to go through the same writing process that then I take that story and post it on iTunes. I could do something similar with them, but I'd have to totally change it up for their level. Okay. So that it's all depends on what your students are comfortable with at the time. I always still offer, like when I'm creating assignments for my students, I still offer them the chance to make a substitute institution level assignment, but I also put out there the option of that redefinition version. Okay. You never want to just like totally push them just essentially off a cliff. Okay. You want to give them that option to kind of build and grow. Okay. I've had students who have started a school year at a substitution level kind of thinking of a story, but I always try and push them towards that redefinition. Okay, that's the ultimate goal for some of them. Some of them, it like I said, it's okay if they're working towards just that substitution level. It's everybody has their different strengths and skills. Okay. But as I said before, to summarize up here, each one of these levels has a different kind of way of thinking. Okay, that's ultimately what it is just try and challenge your students with one of these different levels of the SAMR model. Okay. So I'll post some more links to some of this research on the SAMR model in the episode details. Okay. But then also feel free to reach out to me and send me some, send me some audio responses and I'll happily post them here on the podcast, or I can even possibly reach out to you too. So that's part of the thing that I want to do as an educator myself is always continuously grow. And also when you are an educator, one thing that you should, you know, be willing to do is help one another. I mean, that's how we build and grow in the education field, is helping one another. So, as I said before, reach out to me. Also, stay safe, and I'll catch you later on next week's the next episode. See ya.